Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. Welcome back. This is our 47th show. I don't know how many this year, because I won't keep track like Matt does, but 47, which means we're coming up on that big anniversary, which I'm very excited about. We are the Marvel Movie News Show, coming to you live from the Danger Room, where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. So, I need you to subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network, YouTube/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN, Facebook at Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, and if you tweet the link, we will tweet it back out and get you more followers and such, because that is how 2015 works. It's very important. So, that's all the spiel Matt says.
Nicely done.
I was worried you were, like, you started turning red.
It's so many words, and
you were breathing, and I got real anxious.
Like, maybe he'll get there. Maybe he won't. Yeah. Show's over. Just you two. I'm just like...
All the social media stuff
is overwhelming. It's like, be everywhere and like it all.
And you got to be good at it.
It's just, it's a horrible thing. I'm Coy at Coy Jandreau, whilst plugging, COYJANDREAU.
I am Justin Baker at Axe for Food, ACTS, the number four, the word food, not like a lumberjack.
Would you really
like
take payment in the form of food?
I've done it before.
I've seen it.
Crafty, yes, delicious.
Nice. Yeah, oh, crafty's
it's
good.
The most honest of all. And then that's another good. Very honest. Let's go with your honest.
Crap. Hey guys, I'm Hector. I'm at Hector is funny.
Are you funny?
I don't know.
I really enjoy your calling him out and then being ashamed of your Twitter.
I hate mine still, but I have it, and now it's too far gone.
Oh, once you're branded,
you're locked in.
Yep,
that's life.
Oh,
I like Matt Cook tweeted so much that I'm like, man, I want to be Coy tweeted, but I shouldn't. No, hi Matt. So we've got a lot of news today.
Yeah.
Giant Kevin Feige news, which we'll get to at the end of the show so we can just rant on it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because that is a lot of like potential ramifications.
Yes. Yeah.
So first, we will start with the Brolin Thanos comments, which I really enjoyed because it shows his zealous love. Basically, he's talking about how much he loves being recognized as Thanos, which I really enjoy because to me, he's like, he's been around forever. The guy was in the Goonies.
Yeah.
He said,
that's what I would recognize him from.
I don't know which one I'm in. That's Kevin Feige question. I know the trajectory of what they're doing, but I don't know exactly which one I'm in. I love going into a comic book store and a guy connecting me with Thanos and seeing the incredible regressive awe that happens. Like, you see them lose 30 years and I can't believe it all. That's fun, and I have a lot of respect for those fans. I'm excited about doing it. I really am. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like a geek one of us now.
Yeah. That he goes into comic book stores is weird. I'm like, really? A guy in the country for old men walks into comic book stores like, hey, I'm in Sicario. You got the new Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
You got Deadpool versus Thanos?
But he's got a pull list, too. Like, that's what it's got to be like.
Yeah.
He's just a golden apple on Wednesdays. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Because he's such an intimidating dude.
Secret Wars is crazy, right? Isn't it nuts? Can you believe what I did in that last issue? It's great.
That's the regressive odds.
That's the way it's got to be. It's like, oh my gosh, did you see what my character does?
Yeah, pretty awesome. And I love that he has respect for the fans.
Yeah.
And he says that he's excited to... what has he done so far? He's been in Guardians, and that's it, right?
Well, in Guardians, it was our buddy Damian. It was Damian who's been on the show.
Oh, no, in Avengers, that was him.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Avengers was him.
In Guardians, it was him doing motion capture and the voice and stuff.
Right.
And then I think he was also at the end of Avengers Age of Ultron, that's right, where he grabbed the
gauntlet, little pops.
So far, not really anything. Just teasing.
I feel like the next thing he's going to do, whether or not he knows, is going to be Guardians Volume 2.
Yeah, I think he has
And
to.
Then Avengers Infinity War Parts 1 and 2. That's what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, I mean, it's all gearing up to his giant role in Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is his way of being like, maybe I'll pop up wherever. Ominous, ominous, ominous.
I could see him in Thor Ragnarok. No, he doesn't belong in there. Get out of there.
It wouldn't live in Civil War either, because they've got 82 characters.
Yeah, Civil War is going to be nuts already.
Yeah.
Just including Spider-Man means we need like half an hour to just tolerate. Like, it's just too much. And then he ended up saying, I don't have a favorite because it's me against all of them, referring to the Avengers. I think the entirety is what I'm most looking forward to. Each and every one, I'm bringing the wrath.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, man.
I want him to kill some characters. That's what I want.
I'm surprised that...
Oh, dude, I want people to die.
Yeah.
I mean, with Thor Ragnarok, I thought he would have had to have died first. So I thought that was... When they announced that title, I was like...
He didn't die yet? Well, he's gonna die in Thor Ragnarok. Right.
I feel like it'd be...
I was asking, like, are we gonna do cloning? Like, is that gonna happen?
The Thor clone?
Yeah.
Who was later named Ragnarok?
Ragnarok?
I don't know.
I don't see clones being a... It's a swear word in Marvel. Like, after Spider-Man, you don't say the C word.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit.
Although, it was done much better with the Thor situation.
I think it would be cool, though, if in a future Marvel movie, it's revealed that Robert Downey Jr., like Tony Stark, did pluck a hair off of Thor to like look at later. Like, that would be cool. I don't want to see a Chris Hemsworth robot like show up, but I do want Tony to be like, no, I looked at that hair. I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Getting there. I'm sorting things.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, while we're talking about Ragnarok, they announced that it and Captain Marvel might be shooting in Australia.
Not
a lot of nudes.
Yeah.
Nudes. Not a lot of news.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say,
Captain Marvel might be a different movie.
How familiar are you with the concept of Ragnarok?
I love Australia.
Australia is very hot. They're big on it.
Very forward.
Got a couple of beaches. It's very nice there.
I'm very excited for both movies to shoot in Australia.
I think that would be cool. I think that Australia could provide some cool backdrops for Asgardian stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also for maybe some Kree stuff. If Captain Marvel is going to implement some of her sci-fi origins and how she gets powers from the Kree, which we already saw in Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's Ronan the Accuser, so like maybe they'll do some cool alien-looking planet stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, I always think, my first thought is always, you know, the Savage Land. I'm like, it's so gorgeous out there.
Oh, yeah. Like, think we'll ever see the Savage Land in a Marvel movie?
I would love that. I don't think it's the rights to that. I think it has to be X-Men, right?
I mean, would that be geography? Under X-Men?
I don't know.
Can you take, like...
Kazar? Like, I don't know.
I think the characters in the Savage Land are owned by Fox.
Are they, though?
I mean, it's
what, the mutates? Like, what? Like, who's there? Like, who even cares?
Sauron.
The Carl Lykos might be a fox because I think he's tied in with
can
like,
you
being
license locations
that's what I'm trying question. To figure out
because that fox, would that call would be us. Awesome
like I know yeah, Atlantis
fox, could you call my cell phone
Atlantis goes with Namor because it's under universal
right.
And as Asgard, Thor, and Wakanda, Black Panther.
It might be. I mean, you might license locations. It might actually be a thing.
They might actually have the Savage Land. Son of a gun.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Darn it.
We were so close.
What if Marvel sets us up some deal just to, like, get the Savage Land from Fox? Like, we'll do this.
You keep all of them. We just want to shoot dinosaurs, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Fun. So Mark Ruffalo officially came out and said he's not in Civil War.
Boo.
We've all been theorizing it. He was on set, but he must just be visiting his bros.
I'm bummed, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because of the explanation he put forth was like, ooh, interesting.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Planet Hulk is...
You think that's what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
If he's not in Civil War, like, it's... Where are you? Like,
yeah.
Are you in hiding again at this point?
Yeah, he's really good at hiding.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like...
Here's
like,
what I think.
Really good at being hiding.
Here's where I think he is. I think he has journeyed to Los Angeles to try to find shelter with his cousin Jennifer. And then I think we're going to see She-Hulk in the next Hulk movie.
Ooh.
Or Avengers movie. That's what I think. That's where I think he went. Mm. He's keeping that Bill Bixby, I'm on the run thing going. And then he shows up to L.A. and meets up with his childhood friend, his cousin. And then, oh, crap, she got shot by a drive-by because she's a lawyer and she needs a blood transfusion. She-Hulk.
I like your movie.
Thanks,
I'd watch
that
movie.
I would watch that movie. Absolutely. But I would watch Planet Hulk more.
I just don't know if we're there yet. Like, I want them to do some more Hulk stuff on Earth before we get up there.
That would be our kind of way to have, like, the Savage Land. Like, we were just talking about. That's, like, as close as we might get in that world. And the Secret Wars tie-in is incredible. Planet Hulk there is amazing.
Oh, yeah?
With Cap riding a dinosaur?
Yeah.
Read it.
Yeah.
So moving on to Fox. This is basically just me getting to say Deadpool. There's no Deadpool news, but I wanted to say the words Deadpool while I was hosting. The Deadpool game is getting re-released on next-gen consoles.
Cool.
I just wanted to let you know.
Great.
I'm excited. Somebody buy it. Let's keep... Yeah, I mean, it's groovy. In time for the thing to get the hype up. And
yeah, that's
there.
True. Hasn't that game already come out?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, okay, so they're re-releasing it on next-gen. Yeah.
Because the movie's coming out. Smart.
Right. I mean, it's a great move to bring awareness to the character. And
I heard the game was awesome. I haven't played it yet.
I hear it's like the best
representation. I have not played it either.
Yeah.
But... Now it's being re-released on next gen. I think this is the year I go next gen. So
Black Friday's around the corner.
I get a little bit iffy sometimes with. I love a lot of modern games. I think I'm more of a retro gamer.
I'm a retro
but I get
gamer.
A little iffy when the comic book world crosses over because the gamers and gaming world is like, oh, this game's awesome. This is so yeah. representative of the character or whatever. This is so great, comic booky. And then I'll play it and I'll be like, it's more gamey than comic. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. especially like the Batman series is freaking phenomenal.
Right.
But by the third one, it was more of like a video gamey, like really like over the top than it was like. Felt like I was being Bruce Wayne. Does
yeah,
that make sense?
That.
Like it's kind of its own separate thing.
The last game I actually played was a comic game. It was Ultimate Spider-Man on PS2. It was the last game I beat.
God.
That's how long I had.
Oh my god!
I just,
wow. That was an awesome game. That game was
away.
Written
was
by
like,
Brian Michael Bendis.
And that felt like a comic. That was
it
like,
really
off, and it looked
oh,
like
yeah.
a comic. It was authentic
really
all around.
Yeah,
so that was
a good game.
I walked away at a good moment. I was like, you know what?
Holy,
I don't know if I can top
holy moly!
Wow, it's been a minute.
I don't know if you can top that.
I mean, it's hard to have time to game and do everything else in LA. Like it's
yes,
it's a commitment. Gamers is a life.
I spend a lot of time.
It's
a
life
choice.
Choice.
I have a gamer tattoo because
maybe I'll come back for
your
Deadpool.
Tattoo.
It's right here. It's a Triforce.
Oh, that's sick. That's
and
so
I've
cool.
Just
life
got
choice.
The courage one marked in because I don't consider myself wise or strong.
Congratulations,
so.
Man. You will Thanks. Someday.
Someday.
And
right?
you will
be
those
wise and strong someday.
You get, as you earn
exactly.
those badges, like
I
a boy
can't
scout.
Wait for the moment where Justin does something. He's gonna be like.
I just save somebody in like a burning
yeah.
building or something like that, and I'm like, as I leave the cops are like, can we talk to him? Like, I don't have time. I have this to get filled in
right now. And then later you talk to somebody who's like down on their luck and you're like, hey, and you're like, oh my god, I have this.
Oh,
I gotta
so
go fill
smart.
This in.
You get your first gray patch and you're like, well,
yeah,
we're here now.
That's awesome. That's
we're
great.
Here now,
Triforce is classic.
I dig
that's
it.
Classic.
So maybe I'll come back for Deadpool because I hear it's a great game.
Okay, cool.
So while we're on Fox, Oscar Isaac had this to say about his role in Apocalypse. I was also a big fan of X-Men, particularly the villain Apocalypse. So when those parts came around and there was interest for me to do them, I was excited about it. I was excited to explore those worlds. There's something more mythical. Basically, you're playing a god. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Every time he talks about this character, I get more
right
excited.
Right on.
Like, he's got a feel for it. I love that he's a fan, like we were just saying. Like,
great.
I love that he's in it. And I love the idea that he has the god complex built into the character.
He has a great take on the character. Super fan. The only thing I need right now is just some footage to be released officially.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing that people think of Apocalypse right now is Ivan Ooze because of that purple picture. And I'm like, I need Fox to fix that. I know they can. Just send out some footage. Let me see Oscar act it
so
out.
That not good.
It's just, I'm like, lighting? I don't know. But that's all I'm missing.
That's
and
fair.
Other than that, like, I'm so stoked about him playing this character.
I'd like him to be gray. Even an image of him gray. With blue lips, and
sure.
I'd be sold. But as far as him as an actor, the way he feels about the character is spot on, so I'm digging it. While also on Fox, Hugh Jackman did the most adorable thing this week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen it. We have a snapshot, but if you have time, you're on the internet right now. You should look this up.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman surprised a kid through the Make-A-Wish Foundation who is a huge Wolverine fan, and it was the most adorable, endearing. I mean, Hugh Jackman's just the greatest guy.
He's
I'm gonna
great.
Miss him so much as Wolverine just because the heart.
Yeah.
Like, he's just such a swell fella.
He's. I didn't notice this before, but look, the kid has little Wolverine claws on the table.
Yeah!
He's a fan.
And, like, I watched the video, and, like, he talks about his favorite thing about Wolverine. One of the things is that he has healing powers.
Yeah.
And, like.
Broke
yeah.
my heart, dude. It was
like,
so rough.
That stabbed me right through the heart. I was like,
That's amazing.
Beautiful.
That's
and, like,
great.
That's a great... I mean, I get it. That you relate to that as
it's
that
the same,
kid.
It's the same as Bat Kid. It's the same as how Bat Kid related to Batman because he didn't have any superpowers, but he still endured. And here's a guy, Wolverine. That's what I love about Wolverine. He's not... He doesn't get killed by bullets, but he's not bulletproof. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Everything hurts. Every time
he
feels every single thing.
Feels it every time.
And
does it hurt when the claws come
it.
Out? Every single time. He just it's so great.
Dude, when like some of my favorites are like when Magneto pulls the adamantium out of him or whenever him and Hulk, Wolverine versus Hulk, when he like opens with him climbing up the mountain, missing half of his body.
It's fantastic. I still remember Hugh Jackman. It's going to be weird when he's not Wolverine.
It really will.
And it's
going to
be weird when they recast the character. Like, I don't know how that... I've talked about this before. I don't know what Fox is planning after X-Men Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
If they're just going to do another X-Men sequel set in the 90s that's still a prequel to the first X-Men film with the younger Cyclops, Jean Grey, and Storm.
See, like, I feel like this is already the reboot. I feel like they're not going to have the older characters in this movie
They do. Oh, what do you mean?
I feel like they're weaning us. Sorry.
Yes.
They're involved, but they're less and less involved each time. I feel like they're weaning us away from the 2000s cast. And they're gonna,
for sure.
So they can set up the 90s and have it be the universe. Like, we have Cyclops, we have a new Jean Grey. I mean, they've already done it. They've just been they've paced us.
Yeah.
So I think that's the end of them. I mean, I don't think we're going to see it anymore, which is going to be rough. It's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird. I still remember the first time I saw Hugh Jackman in an interview doing press for the first X-Men. back in 2000, I was, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, and he was on the Regis and Kathy Lee Gifford show. If you remember that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I love Regis.
Because I knew this guy who was playing Wolverine, my guy, was going to be on it. And this is one of the first appearances he did on American television. And he came around the corner when the announcement, Hugh Jackman, came around the corner, and he had an inflatable Wolverine toy that he popped out first, and he moved its claws a little bit and came around, and he was so happy.
Oh, man.
I immediately was like, this guy's good. I love this guy. And sure enough, he was charming as hell in the interview. And since then, he's been like the standard for like an actor that loves the role.
Right. The bar is set.
In like the superhero. Yeah, man. Yeah. I can't even.
And his and The Rock's Instagram presence, like both of them are just like the sweetest guys. And I'm always like, I gotta go to the gym. Hugh Jackman's working out right now.
He's also a guy like Robert Downey Jr. is perfect casting to Tony Stark.
Absolutely.
I don't know if Hugh Jackman is perfect casting to Logan.
I don't think he is.
He's not. But he's so good.
He's great at the role.
But he's a 6'3 Australian,
if I was
not
stuck
hairy guy.
In a bar with two guys, I would obviously pick Hugh Jackman over Wolverine.
Exactly. Because
he's a nice guy. And Wolverine's got the heart, but it's like underneath all of just anger and life.
He just wants to drink beer.
But he shares it. Logan's
way more Mel Gibson to me. I've always said old man Logan Mel Gibson. Because you got that grizzled out. I don't know about Mel Gibson's heart. I love him as an actor. I love his heart. But maybe Hugh Jackman's heart and Mel Gibson, that would be Wolverine, buried deep down.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's just such a swell. He sings, he dances. Wolverine does not sing and dance.
No.
No.
Not unless he's being mind control. He's just so damn lovable that no one's like, oh, he sucks. No, he's great.
No one hates Hugh Jackman.
I know.
Even if you don't like him as Logan, it's Hugh Jackman.
It's true.
I saw Les Mis 3 times in theaters because I was just like, you're the greatest man. Please tell me how to be a better human.
Yeah.
So this was amazing. Everyone should watch it. It was really cute. It's not really Marvel Movie News related, but please watch it. Humanity's better for it.
Oh, I'm going to miss him.
And on to more Wolverine news. Liev Schreiber went on, I think it was Kimmel or Fallon. It was one of the late night shows. Sorry for not knowing. And he said, I heard it was, I don't know if I'm invited, in reference to Wolverine 3, but I heard that the storyline is Old Man Logan. When I heard that, I thought, well, you know, there's Old Man Logan, there could be Old Man Sabretooth. Now,
it could be.
Old Man Logan, we were talking about, earlier.
Every character's owned by someone else.
Yes, you can't make that movie unless it's a starting point. It's here's the idea. We've got an old Logan.
I know.
Now let's make a movie.
We're in the West.
That's about as close as we can get to that.
Right.
So, yes, you could, I guess you could have an old man Sabretooth.
Sure.
But with the success of Mad Max, I could see an Old Man Logan movie set in that reality. The Old West, insane, post-apocalypse.
I could see that. That'd be fun.
And then you could have Old Man Sabretooth because you have the opportunity to bring in characters that aren't in the comic. I mean, they've never played by the comics rules, so why not make a post-apocalyptic Wolverine movie?
I think it's going to happen, and I'm so excited it is, because my whole thing was I thought, again, they could never make that movie. And I thought years and years from now, when Jeremy Renner's old, and Marvel Studios is in phase 9, and Jeremy Renner's
bring him out of retirement.
They'll just get Hugh Jackman to play James Howlett if they don't have the rights to Wolverine back yet, or just you know what I mean, or just they will just get the rights. By that time in the future, Marvel Studios and Fox will have come to a deal, or somebody will get the rights back, or some bullcrap will have happened where they'll just bring these guys back and they're old actors and they're like, we're gonna make Old Man Logan.
It's time.
That's the only way I could see it happening, because to me Hawkeye is such
integral
to
that story.
Absolutely.
And the Hulks are the villains. There's a lot of stuff that just can't happen.
Spider-Girl and
Luke
Cage,
and the Spider-Mobile is the way they get around.
And the Mole Man, and then there's a T-Rex with the Venom symbiote.
The comic is so like a cartoon, but in a gritty universe.
It's almost like somebody was on drugs, but typically those are bright, shiny things that people do with that kind of stuff. And it's we're gonna go
the other way entirely.
Yeah. But I think it's perfect for Hugh Jackman's last Wolverine movie. And
I agree.
I think it is gonna be a post-apocalyptic, we saw glimpses of it with Days of Future Past. Why not just now say, because they've changed the past in their X-Men movie timeline when they prevented Mystique from shooting the president or whatever, or Bolivar Trask, that now instead of the future being Days of Future Past, the further future is Old Man Logan.
Right.
Yes.
They could easily do that.
Oh, yeah. You could absolutely make that reality what could have happened.
Who would you guys have as the character who's his Hawkeye of the X-Men movies so far? Would you bring back Cyclops and have him be blind?
I'd enjoy the irony of that.
That would be cool.
Yeah, and I'd love James Marsden to get the chance to actually play Cyclops.
Saying.
I'd love James Marsden to get
both
a credible
Cyclops.
Get
their last little, hurrah.
Yeah, I'd love that. Because I think James Marsden's a great Cyclops that's never been written.
I know.
He's just been in the background
really good.
Trust me, I'd be great. Let me speak.
Oh, hey, Gene. Poof. Yeah. guys, I have No lie. Oh, pooping in this one?
X-Men that, 1. X-Men 1. Please, let me talk to Jean. I love her. Poof. X-Men 2. I get this one cool fight scene. Yeah. I got a weird Matrix jacket. Yeah. X-Men 3. I did.
Yeah.
Well, it's the leader of the X-Men.
So yeah, I know, right?
Like, oh, my God.
But, hey, we broke Old Man Logan's story. Like, that was here. So if this ends up being Old Man Logan, I'd be very happy. Because it'd be a little piece of
we
us.
We just broke it. We were just like, hey, get
we just
Cyclops.
Broke the news right here.
We just did.
There you
we
go.
Just did.
Yeah, we just wrote your movie for you. Have at it, Fox. Do we get credits for that? Do we get writing credits?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I'd settle
I'll take,
for a
I'll
ticket.
Take 1% on the, I'll take 1% on the back end.
1%? Oh,
1%.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You'll take food is what you'll take.
That's true.
You'll take
yes.
food for payment.
I'll take Crafty
Justin.
For...
Yeah, take Crafty. I'll have a movie ticket, please.
So Stan Lee came out and said that Fantastic... I love Stan Lee so much. Basically, Stan Lee came out and publicly said Fantastic Four failed because, quote, well, it was probably because I didn't have a cameo in it and they didn't discuss the story with me, end quote. I love that, man.
So good.
I love the idea that the Stan Lee cameo is the stamp of whether or not a movie will be good.
Yep. To Stan Lee, it is. It's great. It's so funny. Because in this instance, he might be right.
In this
like,
instance...
Every other time he's jokingly said that, like, oh, this movie didn't make as much money because Stan wasn't in it, or whatever. Like, or... I forget. He's even talked about how he wants cameos in, like, the DC Comics movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's so stupid and funny. I love him.
I love... What I love about Stan Lee is that, like... If you've got like memorabilia signed by Stan Lee, it doesn't mean anything because he will sign
everything.
He is
everywhere just
signing. If you walk up with your baby to Stan Lee and are like, here you go, he'll have a Sharpie and just write on the head.
I love that he's accepted that reality. Like, he's just such Stan Lee all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think, though, if you break this down to like a symbolic level, there was no Stan Lee in that movie, and that is why it failed.
That's
true.
Saying?
There was no Jack Kirby.
No. There was no Fantastic Four in the movie I saw.
There was no Fantastic Four in the movie.
And therefore, no Stan Lee could be an option.
It's real sad, but, you know, Stan Lee's right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's yeah, exactly. Like, he's actually a lot deeper than
let's give him all
for.
The benefit of the doubt, because he's Stan the Man Lee.
Yes.
Thanks for existing, Stan.
Thank you, Stan.
He's not a 93-year-old senile man.
If you're watching us right now, Stan, we love you.
We do. So much.
Appreciate everything you have to say.
Get back to work. What are you doing watching this? Get back to work, Stan. You gotta make more superheroes.
Please, we need them.
That Key and Peele sketch with Stan Lee.
I haven't seen that one. You know which one I just asked? Gremlins 2 was the best.
Gremlins 2 is great. You have to go to the Key and Peele, and it's Stan Lee comes into a writer's room, and he's coming up with new characters.
Yeah.
And they're all like really bad characters, and the writers are like, oh, we just brought you in to say hi. And then at the end, he's like, I've got one last character. And it's like, this guy fires writers, basically. And they're like, we love it. It's great.
I've seen that.
Those guys are great, man.
It's so funny.
Moving over to Sony. We haven't had much Spider-Man news in a bit, but John Watts came out and said the reason he thinks Holland is going to be such a great Spider-Man is, quote, it feels like he's the right age, he has the right level of enthusiasm and a little bit of confidence, but a lot of insecurity mixed into that. On top of nailing the character, he can also do a standing back.
This is the director of the upcoming Spider-Man film? Okay, cool.
This is the guy that's going to take the reins.
Yep.
We did watch those,
was it Vine clips?
Yeah.
Right?
Instagram,
where he landed three or four of those.
You're very impressive, Tom. Okay, we get it. You're very cool.
Keep being awesome. You're a really talented actor.
I could do that too if I was.
You have a cool life. He's traveling the world. No, he's awesome on Instagram. It's great.
Yeah.
You've only been in amazing films. Yeah. You've done it for like 5 years and been like 10 for 10. Yeah, it's incredible. And John Watts, I saw Cop Car.
Oh, nice.
It is... incredible. It's like a Coen Brothers movie, but like with lightness that it's like a combination of their drama and their comedy in one movie, and you wouldn't expect that from a first time director or a second
director. Yeah, the trailer scary Kevin Bacon scares
me. Man, he was intense. And there's two kids in it that the leads, and it shows how well he directs children.
Yeah,
good.
So I get why Marvel was so enthusiastic. It's a really bold move, but considering Marvel, Sony are like, this guy.
I know.
But I love that that's his perspective on Spider-Man, because we haven't seen that. I mean, Tobey Maguire was insecure, but it was a different kind of insecurity for me. So I'm really excited to see this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been talking about this. I feel like if people are not sold on doing Spider-Man again because of fatigue, I feel like I get that, but it's also probably because those people haven't read a lot of Spider-Man comics.
Yeah.
Or seen, like, the spectacular Spider-Man cartoon show from a few years ago, where I feel like those are, like, really good representations. They're only coming off of the movies. And before, the Sony films they had to hit everything. They had to be superhero, because that was all Sony had.
Yes.
It was all Sony had. So those superhero movies with Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, had to appeal to everyone. Now, Marvel doesn't even need Spider-Man, which is bananas. It's gotten to a point where Marvel Studios doesn't need,
their
flagship guy.
Because all of their B-list are, like, A-list. All their C-list are B-list.
And
their TV is, like...
Because of the variety of the types of movies they put out, they don't need a movie that appeals to everyone. Like, they have that in other movies. So now they can really do a coming-of-age, they've said, John Hughes-style teen movie. And people that are like, oh, again, he's going to be a teen that doesn't, why would they put that in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? So dumb. I'm like, no, this is brilliant. Mm-hmm. Because a 16-year-old Peter Parker standing next to the 30-something Chris Evans Cap, that's is the comic books. That's what we want to see.
And we haven't seen anything close to that yet.
Nothing.
Because and I am excited about him being a kid in, like, the Avengers world. Yep. Like, that's the thing that, like, still keeps me going, because I do want to see an older, like, Peter Parker.
Sure.
I like him when he's a teacher and he's helping
he's
the kids
married,
with science.
He's my favorite.
Favorite. Great stuff.
Yeah.
And so hopefully at some point we get there, but putting him against, you know, Robert Downey Jr. and stuff like this, like, I think this is going to be really cool to see.
It's going to be something where... No, go ahead.
If he was a peer, it'd be harder to introduce him. If he was like, hey, we're all 30-year-old dudes. Where have you been, bro? Like, that wouldn't work. In the Marvel Universe they set up now, with the Avengers they have now, I've been pushing for Jake Gyllenhaal Spider-Man since the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think an adult Spider-Man teaching would be the best version of the comic I perceive. Mm-hmm. But as far as the MCU, I think the best way to introduce him and to have a boyhood with Spider-Man in it, which is exciting, is this. I'd love to look back and have like eight years of Harry Potter with Spider-Man.
It's going to be tough, again, if you have a 30-something, a Jake Gyllenhaal-style character, it's going to be tough to have him next to all these other superheroes and still try to sell him as like he's the underdog.
Right.
Oh, his life is so tough. It's like, whoa. But if
I
you
saw
have a
Southpaw.
Skinny 16-year-old kid, you're like, he's the underdog. Like, what's he doing in Civil War? He's going to get his ass kicked. Whoa, he's fighting Cap? Whoa. This like, he's the underdog.
And you care about him being young. Instead, it's not a ploy. In that situation, which is a great way to introduce him into that world without a solo film. I think it's really smart. I'm finally sold.
Yeah. I mean, in Civil War, he was older.
Sure.
And it was like...
28 years old?
Yeah, it was cool to see that.
Because there's that history.
And the Tony Stark bro science thing.
Yeah. But that's fine. I'll take what I can get at this point.
We have, by the way, heard the rumors of the web shooters. I was going to bring that up this week, but I refuse to accept it.
Wait, okay. What rumors?
I think it'd be... They're saying that Tony Stark either invents or produces the web shooters.
Oh, no.
That's the rumor.
Sorry, man.
Oh, no.
I'm glad we're all equally upset.
No,
I didn't even
want to
talk about
it. Oh,
it's dumb.
That is very, very stupid.
Look, it's
a genius science.
If you
want
to give him the Spidey, the iron suit, like, that's, I can totally.
If you want to give him the suit.
That's fine.
You know,
like, better.
Fine.
Yes.
Better. But he is.
Don't even tell me.
Tony
like, that's the point. Like,
Tony
that's
Stark,
what makes him who we. That's why I was so mad at the first movies, because they were organic.
Shooters.
And I was like, no.
No, that was fine. That's okay.
No, don't you dare.
I'm serious.
Are we gonna
that's
get
okay.
This?
We can get
no.
into it. Let me tell you why that's okay. Because
Hector
that was a
is
shortcut.
Not funny.
Because, Justin, that was a shortcut. And for me, the more important thing, when that first movie came out in 2002, where there was no superhero movies, this was a pre-Iron Man world. Remember that? Pre-Iron Man.
I get it.
It's a tough sell as it is. The easiest shortcut is just like, look, he's
Spider-Man,
he's Spider-Man.
It's not that tough to be like, oh, he's also smart, and he created something that
should
have been.
You know
why I think it's tough?
Now it's not.
Let me tell you why I think it's tough. Because in that world, again, he's the only human being in the history of humanity that's got superpowers. And on top of that, he's also the only guy to develop, like, military-grade, industrial-strength webbing.
He's also in high school.
Like, I'm already like, bullshit. Like, too many things are bullshit. Then
and
you get
Sam Raimi's tone.
Because let me tell you what happened. When we get to Spider-Man 3 and Tobey Maguire's sitting in the park with Mary Jane, he's like, I'm going to propose to her. He's, again, the only human that's ever gotten superpowers. And then all of a sudden, meteor. The only alien that's ever landed on Earth, and it also
right
envelops
him. Hey.
But, like, it's too much.
Yes.
It's too much.
You're right.
Sam
and
too
I,
much.
I wish they had gone. I wish they had gone Ultimate Spider-Man.
Exactly,
with,
where it's a cancer.
Like, that would have been cool.
That's
and you totally could have done that.
Perfect.
And the way,
it's
and perfect. The fact that they, like, cast, like, Topher in that role, like, it felt Ultimate Spider-Man. So I don't know why.
Ultimate Eddie Brock and then did 616
then,
Venom.
I know.
Well, how do you
why would
know?
You do that?
With no Secret Wars, with no reason for him to get a suit from space.
Yeah.
So, sure, that was then. Now, it's post-Iron Man. It's post-2008. We've seen characters build something and we bought it. So
right.
when it was 2012 and he built the web shooters, fine.
Oh, right. Somebody said it's fake.
I mean, I've heard both
Good.
Sides. I've heard it's fake.
It's been proven that it's
be.
Fake.
I got
don't
tweeted.
Lie to me, hip-hopopotamus.
Don't lie, hip-hopopotamus.
Oh,
your lyrics
your
are bottomless.
Enough people tweeted at me. I felt like it was
Good.
Worth saying. And
okay.
we're all very upset, so hopefully it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Cool. While we're on Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, who I will personally miss as Spider-Man. Not the writing, but the man.
The performance.
I thought he was a great Spider-Man.
So good.
He came out and
so
said,
good.
Quote, I've been petitioning to hook up with Marvel since the beginning, so I'm really glad they're finally doing it. I was actually starting to workshop ideas with Alec Kurtzman, who was going to be writing it. We thought to kind of start from the base level, the foundation level of where we left off Peter, and where do we want to see him go, and what's logical. So how do we build upon where we left off with this deep, desperate moment with Gwen? So yeah, we got some pretty heavy places, and I was really excited to kind of explore it and be involved in the ground level like that. But anyway, it wasn't meant to be. As I say, I'm just really excited that I get to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
God,
that's a nice
there's
thing.
There's such sad enthusiasm in that.
And he says he answers like in a very like nice and courteous way when people ask him about it. They're going to ask him in press stuff from now to the end of his life.
Yeah.
And he's like, you
Forever.
Know what? The way it went down, I kind of maybe don't want to talk about it in a public setting, but I will say that I'm really excited to see the new movie.
And he said that he likes Tom Holland and like.
Oh. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it's rough for that guy because he was such a great Spider-Man.
He put everything
into
it.
And it was like, you deserved, and like, the fact that it was just like, boom, nope. You're gone. And I was like, but he didn't do anything wrong.
I know.
He did nothing wrong.
Yeah, he's the kid that got punished for the class.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else cheated, but he actually did well, and they were like, sorry.
Everybody gets a zero.
Yeah, like, he's the kid that got a zero for putting his heart in it. Because that Comic-Con footage, I still go, that's Spider-Man. Like, him in that makeshift suit. That's...
Yeah, man.
He also said,
I was in the room. And I almost cried. And then, like, a month later, this was in 2011, a month later, I was in Los Angeles. I was living in San Diego at the time. That's where I'm from. So that's where I went to Comic-Con and was in Hall H.
Your backyard.
It's my backyard. So a month later, I was in L.A. watching a UCB show. And in line on Franklin was Andrew Garfield, just a couple people behind me. And he was there with somebody, he had a beanie on. And I turned to my friends. I was like, I have to go up and say something to him.
Yes.
Like, don't do that. Don't bother a celebrity. And I went, you don't understand.
You can just compliment him.
I said, I've already thought of what I would say to him is how much I loved his panel. I was there at Comic-Con. Like, I deserve this. Like, shut up.
And so me.
I told, like,
it's
my
the
friends,
universe giving me something.
Right. My
so
friends,
back
my
off.
My friends made me, like, tell him, okay, what are you going to tell him? And then I pitched it to him and I said, I just want to tell Andrew Garfield that he should have gotten more love from the crowd for that speech that he made.
Right.
Because it was so moving and so beautiful about how Spider-Man was important to him as a kid growing up. And then he went and did the panel, and there was a Q&A, and all the questions were stupid, like, do you do your own stunts? Like, nobody said
nobody
anything
said
about
the, heart.
The thing. And so that's all I wanted to say to him. And then they're like, yeah, you should go say that. So I walk around, and I walked up to him, and I was like, I'm really sorry to bug you. Hey. And he goes, yeah, what's up, mate? And the person he was with was some woman, and she, as I was walking up, she went like this. Like, she was annoyed that it's like a person. But as soon as I started talking, I'm like, hey, man, like, I was at Comic-Con in the room with you like a month ago for your first panel. And I just want to say, like, and this is at the time I had him in the Spider-Man outfit on my phone as a screensaver.
Dude.
Like, this is how excited I am for the Amazing Spider-Man. And I told him, like, I just want to tell you, you should have gotten more love from the crowd for the speech. And he's like, oh, thank you so much, man. It really means a lot to me. What's your name? Oh, Hector. Oh, great. And as I was talking, the woman, I could kind of like see her face from the corner of my eye. She went like, like, I won her over with, like, my genuine...
You saw the transition.
I saw it. At first, she was like,
oh, you're not a crazy creep.
Yeah, I was like, just want to say that. I'm so stoked. I'm so happy that for your success and that, like, you get to play this character. He means so much to me, too.
Yeah.
And
have
a good
night. That's the perfect guy. That's amazing.
Because I didn't know this about you, Hector, but I love it. But I did know this about Coy because we've had many, many, many...
Late Night
Spider-Man is my guy.
Yeah, he's my guy,
so to know that there are three Spider-Man fans...
Deep Spider-Man
fans. We could literally just talk about Spider-Man for the
whole
the entire show.
I only became a Deadpool guy because I'm not that big on Dan Slott's Spider-Man. No disrespect to Dan Slott, but Deadpool only would like is my Spider-Man. I'm like waiting for Spider-Man to come back. The Spider-Man I know hasn't been around in a while.
You know who my Spider-Man is because he hasn't been around in a while? Is Miles Morales.
Bendis is Spider-Man? I'm more
it's
excited for Bendis'
Straczynski.
Miles
Straczynski is my Spider-Man.
And I went and got all five of his trades.
Yeah.
His whole run.
So
and
I stopped collecting for a while. And then I was in London, I think it was like 2001.
No, bragging.
And yeah, I know. It was awesome. I was in another country.
Yeah.
And I went into a comic book shop, and there was issue number 30, and Romita Jr. and Straczynski, and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. I'll buy this. And the first
amazing.
Read that, and I was just hooked. The whole Ezekiel storyline.
It's great.
So good.
That's also the run. Listen, man, you said 2001, the 9/11 issue. Is
still, I have that.
John Meter Jr.
I have that.
On
and
Spider-Man
it's
with Straczynski.
That's
perfect.
Just the villains and the heroes coming together. Oh man, I'm getting emotional.
We'll do a Spider-Man show one day, guys, because I truly want to dive in. People ask me comics all the time, and I'm always just like Spider-Man Deadpool. Like I don't have much. Like there's just so much heart in Spider-Man and Ditko. Like, I can't. Spider-Man. I'm hoping that this Spider-Man is the one that they've been trying to make for years. And moving on to Netflix, Luke Cage is. I love this so much. Luke Cage is shooting under the alias Tiara.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's funny.
I had any doubts whatsoever, they're gone because of that one little fact.
Exactly.
Like, that is amazing.
Exactly.
And at this point, I have
you've, no doubts.
With Daredevil, I'm like, you took a television show and just destroyed all doubts of anything. I'm like, I trust in you. You have, take my money, please.
Yeah,
like, I'm on board for all of it.
It would
even
be cool
characters
if...
I don't even care about. I'm like, sure. Yeah. I don't even know
make
that character.
Me love
but
this character.
I'll watch it because I'll love them after the end of the season.
Yeah, like Jessica Jones is going to wreck people. It's going to just wreck people. Yeah, it's great.
So Meredith's not here, but she's so excited.
Misty Knight.
Misty Knight is officially in Luke Cage, and it's by a total unknown.
Yeah, I was looking up her IMDb, Simone Missick.
Nice.
And yeah, she doesn't have a lot of things, which is, it's awesome. Congratulations to her and good luck with this, you know, where we go from here.
It's going to be great. Yeah, Misty Knight's an awesome character. That picture, by the way, is so boobity. It's like the most, it's like the bustiest, but like every so time I see that.
Boobity. It's the only one with my culture, so I was like, do I have to use this one? I wasn't happy about
it. But every time I see something like that, I'm like, oh boy, it's going to make it real hard to pitch comic books to women that don't read comic books. Like, that's the, I'm like,
I
oh,
love
great.
The character.
But that's
kind of
awesome.
Like
love the character.
It's like the time, like the 70s, like blaxploitation.
Sure,
yeah,
for sure.
Like, you know.
Every photo also, I found was either giant afro that was a cartoon or boobs or both.
It's a little like manga video game inspired, but it's ridiculous.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Love Misty Knight. Love her robot arm. Yeah. Can't wait to see her in the show.
And it's a, definitely, it's a bigger superhero element than I expected from Luke Cage. Like, yeah. The arm and everything makes it like, oh, by the way, we're still a Marvel show. Like,
I don't
I'm
think
really
she's going to have a robot arm in the show.
I think she might.
You know what we might get is something where, like, she loses her arm.
Yeah, that's what I was
and
thinking.
And maybe in season
she'll get it later.
Luke Cage, yeah. You know, because she did get, she got the arm from Tony Stark.
Right.
So, like, maybe once Luke Cage interacts with other characters, maybe in Avengers Infinity War Parts 1 and 2.
Maybe she'll have it in Iron Fist, because obviously they're going to, she's got to be in Iron Fist, because that's the love interest. So maybe she'll lose it in Luke Cage and get
and
it.
And then get it in Iron Fist.
Yeah,
sure.
That's like 2 years.
And I'm really looking forward to, after these Netflix shows, like, have a season or two, and with the movies doing everything, I want to see some crossover. Like,
oh,
some
sure.
more crossover.
Oh,
like, that's going
to
be really
when
cool.
we get to the Kevin Feige stuff, I think that is less likely to happen now because of the stuff we'll talk about later. So
really? I think it could be more likely
I think,
to happen.
I think, well, Ike
that's
is running TV still.
Okay.
That's the issue. We'll get there. They also cast Theo Rossi as Shades, another
cool.
villain, which is very exciting.
Cool.
And we're officially, I mean, it was assumed, but Rosario Dawson's officially coming back.
Yep.
Which is awesome.
Which is good because her character, Claire Temple, did have a history with Luke Cage in the comics. So as soon as she was cast in Daredevil, people were like, oh, is she going to be in Luke Cage? And yes, she is.
I hope she's like the Clark Gregg of the TV side, like the Netflix, where she's just like, hey, I'm here for a little bit. I'm really charming. I'm going to go over there.
I know all the street level heroes, and let's make the Defenders.
Yeah.
Great.
Like, I hope that she's just like, recruiting people, Nick Fury-esque. So I'm really excited about that.
Cool.
And then also in Netflix news, this is my favorite piece of Netflix news because we have the same haircut now. John Bernthal tweeted this amazing photo.
I like that that apparently that's the connection.
That's why
have.
I'm excited.
You got a haircut.
It wasn't. This is for
that was
work.
His plug
this
for
is
his
for
haircut.
Work, but this is also for his work. This amazing photo of like that is the
that
Punisher,
looks
man.
Awesome.
That's so.
That's
intense.
Terrifying. It's so intense. Holy crap!
So many guns.
Holy crap!
Yeah. Like, one of my favorite, like, standalone trades is Punisher Kills the Marvel U.
Mm-hmm.
So good. And it just, and it signified, like, how awesome he can be. Like, he knows everybody's weaknesses. He gets hired by a bunch of civilians that have all been accidentally hurt.
Sure.
And they all banded together and brought together a bunch of money. We're like, here's a bunch of money. Can you go kill all the all the superheroes? Because we're really angry because I got burned on the face by like the torch or like a building fell and hit me from the. It's one of those like you kind of feel for these people, sort of.
Sure.
And then he does. He goes through and just kills everybody.
He's such a great character played by such a great actor.
Yeah.
Like there's so much depth in both.
Yeah. Yep. I want some crossover with this too. I want some, like this is great. He's like. Like, they mention him in Civil War in the comic book. It's same guy, different war, comparing him to Captain America.
Yeah.
And then Cap's like, no, that's not the case.
Like because they try to recruit him.
I know. Yeah. It's just a great sort of messed up. And if you guys haven't read Secret Wars, the stuff that's happening right now, issue number one is great because the world is ending. And when the world ends, Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, just sends out an email to every villain he has. And he's like, listen, if the world's really ending, let's meet up. Drinks are on me. Like, let's hang out at a bar. Let's shoot the, you know. And they do that. And then Punisher shows up and he's like, hey, what am I going to do with all these bullets?
Yeah.
The world's ending. You know, they say that you can't take stuff with you. What am I going to do with all these bullets? And then you're just like, he
unloads.
Kills everybody. It's awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of those moments in Secret Wars that just validate so much, like, pent up. Like, why hasn't this ever happened yet?
It's so great.
Yeah. I'm so excited for Punisher. I think it's going to make, I mean, Daredevil Season 1 was maybe my favorite property. If this is shaping up, I mean, that's saying a lot, too.
I know.
This
and, like the, I loved, like, you know, the stuff with Fisk and how, like, I cared about the Kingpin. That the episode with the painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Messed up. His episode was a turning point for me in that show where I went, what?
What is this show?
Because I've never cared about Kingpin. Like, it's never been a situation.
Sure.
I've always known him peripheral through Spider-Man.
Yeah,
it's
he's
like,
more of
a
Spider-Man guy to me.
And so good.
While we've been talking, a bunch of people are telling us in the live thread that Mahershala Ali, I'm not sure how to say that, was just cast as Cottonmouth on Luke Cage.
Oh, cool. I was going to... I've been wondering about Cottonmouth.
So that's
good.
Quite the array of villains on a show.
That's awesome.
I mean, with 13 hours, you can do a lot more than you could in a movie.
Yep.
So that's really exciting.
I think... which one's Cottonmouth? Was Cottonmouth the one... I'm thinking of the one with... like blades or something, like knives or blades, who was like his friend who they both were about to get caught. But then only Luke gets caught and then gets,
gets taken to jail, Carl Lucas,
and then he comes back later. I forgot who Cottonmouth was, if he was a friend of Luke before, I think he was. Oh no, is he just, no, yeah, he's on the Serpent Society.
Yeah, isn't he?
Serpent Squad. Cool.
Yeah, I thought he was a cat
villain, right? I want to see this guy.
Yeah, Cottonmouth. Yeah.
This purple suit, that looks awesome.
That's not, we're not going to see that at all.
I know. Hey, we got a kind of purple suit.
But you know what I bet's going to happen?
Cat 2, we had a kind of purple suit.
He's going to wear a jacket that's kind of purple.
Yeah. I love whenever they do that.
A little flavor pop. And I love that, man. So that just
Like, that was the great thing about Daredevil. Like, the suit doesn't come in until the final episode.
And the new suit looks amazing. The season 2 suit, have you seen it?
I have not.
It looks fantastic. It looks more like what I wanted. But it makes sense. It needs to evolve. I'm happy.
Yeah.
It looks like the Secret War suit from when Gabriel Delgado was painting them.
Secret War? Yeah.
Secret War.
That was so good.
It's what? Secret War, Secret War, Secret Wars?
It goes Secret War, Secret Wars 2, Secret War, Secret Warriors.
Marvel? I got words that I can't say on a rated
show.
And then DC Comics has Crisis,
Crisis, Infinity Crisis, Final Crisis, Next Crisis, Crisis Zero.
That's another conversation for TV versus Marvel. Before we get to the Kevin Feige stuff, Agent Carter has begun filming. We got our first photo. She's describing it as battle wounds. This photo gives us very little except for a beautiful neck.
Beautiful collarbone. That's what I was going to say. That's a beautiful collarbone. Thank you,
Haley.
That gives
me plenty.
Great.
Yeah, that's. I'm so excited. I think the Dub Smash War will be the thing that gets me into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's
because
great.
It's for charity. It's endearing. It's adorable.
So much fun.
I'm so excited.
And man, I'm really excited. And, you know, me and Koi have discussed, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and how he doesn't watch it.
I will watch it before season 3.
I'm half into season 2, but I've heard it's way better.
So much better. Like the first half of season 1 was rough. Yep. They were getting off their feet.
And
nothing had really happened. And then Winter Soldier
happened,
and just everything goes bananas. Mm-hmm. And from there on,
since episode 1 of season 2, it's
so
much better.
Great.
Since episode 1 of season 2, it's much better. They improved so much.
Yes.
And season 3 looks to be really good with Secret Warriors as the sort of tagline. But Agent Carter season 1 was super fun. Super fun.
I
really
missed
dug it.
Agent Carter, and I'm going to have to catch up whenever it comes out on Netflix.
It's good.
I will be watching it. I'm excited.
Good retro stuff.
I'm just bummed
that season 2 is going to be in LA and not still in Brooklyn. Like, I want it to be in old-time in New York. They did such a good job of recreating that.
Yeah.
I was very impressed. So
we can recreate new awesome stuff.
I know. Old-timey Los Angeles. It's going to feel like Roger Rabbit.
It's going to, that's not a bad thing, man. I'm okay
with
that.
What was that game, the game that came out a few years ago where you were the detective? LA Noir?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have reached the end of the show-ish.
Okay.
Kevin Feige is no longer having to report to, I think his name is, it's Ike something. I can't pronounce his last name.
Perlmutter. I think.
Which has been rumored to be the biggest issue with underpaying actors, underfunding films, because this guy's story, Ike Perlmutter, was like living on the street and then got enough money to like get a little bit of a job and then started buying stocks and then became like a thousandaire, then a millionaire, and now runs a studio. Like, this guy could be like a Gatsby movie.
That's nuts.
But
because
of that,
the rights to this guy's life?
Yeah, seriously. Can we make this movie? Yeah, he owns all the rights.
Yeah.
But this guy, because of that, has been very stingy, rumors are, with the Marvel stuff. So we've heard, like, I know that Marvel is very particular with their actors' contracts. They're very particular with their budgets. They're particular where their money goes. And he's also rumored to be the reason we've had less female superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
with
Feige, who's been outspoken.
That's a weird, like
legacy,
Well,
you're the guy who did this.
Hey, like, you did a good job getting where you are, and then you got there and were kind of mean.
And you were like, you know
Welcome
what?
To
I got
the Popcorn
here.
Talk Network.
What?
Are we being queued on?
I know.
And let's start the show.
So, I think it's interesting because we also, in that, have a division between TV and film, because Ike is still running TV stuff, which is very similar to the DC world, which is where we've had some issues with continuity. So...
Now, isn't Jeff Loeb running... Isn't he head of... It's fine.
we got a sorry for the
Sorry, no. That's great.
Isn't Jeff Loeb, like, head of Marvel Television, or creatively? I don't know.
He's creatively involved, but, I mean, you still have somebody give the money. Like, someone's writing the checks.
Sure.
So now they... Kevin Feige's reporting directly to Disney, which is amazing potentially. So I'm really curious how this changes everything. Like, this could really make
I mean I, yeah I mean the idea that it changes everything seems like a big statement. I mean, yes, it changes things for sure, but I mean, they're already on a trajectory for the next 10 years. Like,
of course.
So changing everything.
Hey, listen, man, we thought that same thing, and then they got the rights to Spider-Man, and then they changed it. They squeezed him in there. They pushed stuff back.
And
so stuff's not set in stone.
We're only out through phase 3. Phase 4 on could be like like A-Force.
I'm not
saying,
amazes me that we have an outline for movies that are not happening for like 10 years. Like, I'm just...
And we're all picking at crumbs on those movies for 10 years. Like, the show is about, like, please tell me.
So I think I'm agreeing with you, Koi. I don't think they're going to necessarily like move up Captain Marvel or Black Panther to be like, now we have a female superhero and a black superhero, like, you know, because that's already the trajectory. But I do think that Phase 4 could be very different from what's happening.
Yeah, and I'm super stoked to see, you know, more of everything. I mean, because at this point, it's been a little saturated.
And Feige's been very clear in his wanting to change things and been very vocal about things that we've been like, wait, if you're saying this, why isn't it happening? Now it's like, oh.
Yeah, because anytime that Kevin Feige would get asked
gives validation
about
to all of his
this
statements.
Stuff, like why hasn't there been a female superhero?
He had to talk around like his
and
bosses,
he's,
like,
and he's
you know.
Good at it. He's he's really good at like listening to what fans want and what they're asking for, and the same questions they keep asking.
Right.
And he kind of like doesn't necessarily spin it, but he takes it. And he's like, well, this is kind of what we're working on. We want to make sure to introduce Captain Marvel in a good way. We want to make sure, you know,
absolutely.
And then like you know spits it back out. And so you walk away and you're like, oh, I felt good. Well,
he didn't really answer that. What's interesting is there's no villain in this situation because like I get where this Ike guy's coming from.
I think Ike's a villain.
His name is Ike Perlmutter. That's a villain name. But at the same time, he rose up through nothing. So
I
pinch pennies too. Like, it makes sense.
I mean, and here's the deal. Like, anytime I have a discussion when it comes to like, oh, well, why aren't they doing this creatively? Or, you know, when it comes to the actors or story or stuff like that, it's always like, guys, producers are businessmen.
Right, that's the
thing.
That's
literally what they are.
But that's why I'm curious.
It's only money.
We've
so, like,
lost the business
when he says, oh, this makes money, I'm going to keep doing this.
Right.
I don't have anything that shows, and now we are seeing things that show. It's like, hey, no, we can point over to, you know, Agent Carter and be like, this made money, like, you know, or this and this.
Well,
and
during
like,
the Sony leak, there was an email from Ike saying, no, female movies don't work, see Elektra, Catwoman, blah, blah. And he had a list that was very reasonable.
1987? No, it was not.
Well,
it was unreasonable.
It was reasonable from a business standpoint, unreasonable from a fan comic standpoint.
It was unreasonable from a business standpoint because those are like 20, 30-year-old movies.
Yeah.
It's unreasonable.
Yes.
I rescind my comment.
It's reasonable for an idiot sexist guy. Totally reasonable.
Yes.
Good proof.
It's like cherry picking. Oh, I can absolutely go through and find things. You know what? Here's the deal. I'm going
to
find a lot of movies where white male actors don't make any money.
They don't work.
Oh, look. Geely didn't make any money. None of these people.
Superheroes don't work, guys. Steel didn't it bomb? Did the box office? Not gonna work.
Blade 3 was very
stupid.
Bad.
Yeah. Blade Trinity,
touche. Touche. It was a bad email.
Here's the
I was trying to be nice to the guy.
Not this
Pearl Mutter.
Guy's name. Don't be nice. He's fine. He's set.
Yeah. He's not watching us right now.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But
he's got somebody else maybe watching us because he can do that. He can pay somebody else.
Here's the more interesting thing too is apparently that the Marvel Creative Committee was disbanded.
Right.
The Marvel Creative Committee, which is something that was comprised of Marvel Comics and Marvel Entertainment, like heads of creative, whatever, guys like Brian Michael Bendis.
Right.
Back in the day, used to be Mark Millar. Then he got hired by Fox to basically do the same thing and then fail with Fantastic Four. What happened, Mark? Well, you're supposed to help
out.
Where were you, dude? You wrote the comic they based it on. What happened?
Yeah, Four is strong. His Four book, Mark Millar's with Steve McNiven art, like that's, if you've done
did
that
he
as
do
a
that?
Movie.
That, I don't think that, was that him? No, but he did Ultimate Fantastic Four with Bendis that they kind of based. Anyway, the point is, this creative committee was something, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Was something that Kevin Feige and Marvel Studios would then go to and they would give story notes and stuff. And apparently this committee, it's good and bad. This committee was the committee that came up with, hey, at the end of Iron Man, there should be a Nick Fury cameo with Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
So great.
And Bendis wrote it.
And great. Right. And then, but this committee was also apparently the reason that with their notes, Edgar Wright left Ant-Man.
Right.
So with that
specifically
happening,
that committee,
specific. So it's like, so maybe Kevin Feige wanted to disband that or they went through the process of disbanding that because he doesn't want that to continue to happen.
Right.
You know, because people, like directors are choking under the storytelling that is the Marvel machine.
And we just lost the Black Panther director who was in talks. Like,
oh, really?
Ava DuVernay?
Yeah.
She was like, no, creative, sorry. So I really hope that Kevin Feige, since he's been creative and he's not perceived as a producer in that sense, I really hope we get way more female-led films. Because Hunger Games, guys, like there's so many like amazing,
right?
Like, there's so
there was
so
like a
potential.
recent article about like the number one like consumer of video games now is is females 20 to 30.
Yeah, like 51% of gamers are now adult women.
Right.
But they also use like non-traditional gaming is what they call, so like mobile games and stuff, but that's still legit. That's
they're still gaming. That's awesome.
Dude, the Clash of Clans makes a lot of money.
Exactly.
And more women are reading comics, and we cast like the most gorgeous men to play our superheroes. Obviously, that appeals to a demographic that's seeing it.
Oh, yeah, it
and
does. Have you guys never been on Tumblr? Captain America is very popular. Tumblr loves Captain America. I mean, and Bucky. And all everybody
and the Iron Man Green Banner, there's a strong bond there.
I think that hopefully this moves in the direction that like Warner Brothers DC Comics has been promising,
right?
By saying each one of their movies is going to be like, we're going to focus on the director. They really, I think, threw Marvel under the bus with that comic. Like they're really trying to like poke at Marvel to be like, our movies are director based.
Right.
We don't know if that has worked yet because we've only had Zack Snyder.
Right. They've only had the one,
and we don't know if their sort of like cohesive storytelling, you know, world will fall apart.
But
under
Ben Affleck's Batman, man, I'm more excited for that than most things.
For sure. Like, will, like, Suicide Squad looks great, but I'm saying, like, will it serve that sort of, like, that thing that Marvel Studios is really good at?
Right.
We don't know yet. We haven't seen it. So if this just means that Marvel now has a little bit more freedom to let directors do what they want to do, let guys like Joss Whedon do what they want to do on Age of Ultron, Edgar Wright, or whoever they have
like
coming
these guys,
up.
I mean, here's the deal. You hire a director based on their body of work, and you trust that they're good at their job.
That's
so
why you
let
hire them
do their job.
You
That's what they're
for
there
reason.
For.
Absolutely.
I know.
Like,
totally.
You hire good actors to be the actors. You hire good writers to be the writers.
Because you want a vision.
That's what this guy, does. So let them do what they do.
Good.
I think Captain Marvel is going to be a great way to see how Kevin Feige moves forward.
Yeah.
I think we need Emily Blunt as Captain Marvel. That's my personal pick. And I think it could be the thing that makes people that are like, women don't work in superhero movies, just finally like shut them up. Like,
no,
it'll be
a non-issue.
You know, a lot of people keep talking about Squirrel Girl.
I would love Phase 4 Squirrel Girl.
And I'm like, yes, that would be
Ant-Man was
awesome.
A straight-up comedy. We could have a Squirrel Girl.
I loved Ant-Man.
Yeah.
First of all,
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy was great with comedy. Like, you started doing that stuff.
If there's a way we could find room for Great Lakes Avengers, including Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
I don't know if they deserve a movie per se, but like if they are a big chunk of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, where like they go to the Great Lakes and there's guys that are like, we're the Avengers. Like, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do that. So good.
Oh, man. Janine Garofalo 10 years ago is super Squirrel Girl.
Oh, that'd
Janine
be great.
Garofalo 10 years ago would have been perfect.
There's so many great Squirrel Girls right now. Just ask the internet and they will perfectly.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
that was
cool.
Just the first my first pop.
For sure.
I think it's got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Kevin Feige to be running things more directly to Disney.
Yeah, I trust him too.
Yeah, I feel like it's a good face to run everything.
Hopefully it's good.
That's our big news. I'm excited. We don't know much what's going to change. I don't think we'll see changes in the next few years because everything's already rolling. But
yeah. I mean, I think it'll be little changes. Like we'll see some, you know, like some things like with Spider-Man, like some things we pushed maybe around a little bit, and maybe we'll drop some characters in because they haven't started filming everything.
Black Panther, or Doctor Strange.
Hopefully we don't lose that great movie TV crossover potential just because Ike's being a nut. Hopefully we don't lose that.
That's my only concern of the whole thing.
Yeah, I hope so. It's like that's. And where are you on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now?
I'm halfway through season 2.
Okay, then I don't want to spoil
which
anything.
Which is good. And I'll catch up. And I'm very much
looking
forward to season
3. Because there's some definite like TV film crossover.
Oh, for sure.
Stuff
they're setting up in humans. Like,
okay, good. That's, yeah, I wasn't sure what.
No,
okay, good.
He's been on the internet in the last
I was like, I thought you had, but I just didn't want to.
I know there's powers now. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's cool. It's cool.
There's a lot of potential at Marvel TV film crossover. I hope that isn't the one thing that keeps us from it. I think it's a good move on everyone's part. I think Disney wants more power, and what a better way to do
it. And here's the thing. I think, you know, Pupperholtz, whatever his name is.
Pepper Potts?
Yeah. Pupperholtz.
Ike Nutterbutter?
Ike Nutterbutter. I think... as a, you know, once again, we're talking about money.
Yeah.
I think he's not going to look at a situation where he can make crossover and be like, oh, I'm mad because of this.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
the dollar bill is the final line with this guy.
Sure.
And
right.
I think he's going to go, okay, you know what? Sure. I'll give you one of my characters. You give me one of your characters and we'll both make a lot of money.
I can't wait for Captain Marvel to make $500 million and just be like, and here it is. And then we get a whole new, because we're limiting ourselves so much.
Dude. It'll make 700
million. It'll make a lot of money. And we're limiting ourselves so much by having this weird bias that is unfounded in archaic thought, like you said 30 years ago. So I'm hoping this is the change.
That's
my thesis on it.
It's gonna be great. The more that Marvel gives us like less to complain about, the better. Like, and it's just gonna get better and better as the years go by.
We'll leave that to Fantastic
we'll
Four
to,
we'll complain
yeah.
about that as
exactly.
a separate thing.
It's getting harder and harder to complain about stuff
because Deadpool's happening. Fox, I can't even be mad at Fox. Deadpool and X-Men
and
are outweighing.
I'm still mad at Fox. I'm still mad.
I mean, I'll always be a little
bit.
Well, I mean, I'm mad at Fox for so many reasons. I mean, let's go all the way back to Browncoats. All right, let's just do it. All right, I'm always going to be mad at you that I have one season of Amazing Show.
They can't
and
take
whatever,
this guy
that's fine.
Yeah.
You can't.
But they can give you Deadpool, and but, they
and
have.
It is, and it looks glorious, and everything I've seen, the teaser trailer, the trailer,
the green band trailer,
the teaser.
Yeah, the teaser to the teaser, the interview with, Slater.
The post-green band trailer mentioning the red band trailer was funnier than most trailers. Like, I'm so excited, honestly. Yeah. So I want to give some shout-outs to our iTunes folk. I want to shout-out to WeHouse by _ clever name. Nice. Papa Baggins 3446. Louis R826. You gave us a very good review, but then I think accidentally gave us 1 star. I'm assuming you are happy with us. A lot of exclamation points. A lot of positivity.
These guys are great.
The 1 star throws me.
That's it. He doesn't normally give stars.
This is what every day.
All the
1 star. I think it's like,
or maybe he thinks it's like the number one.
Yeah, we're number one.
We're number one.
It's like guys, the less stars, the better. Like golf.
You guys get the star.
You guys get the star.
So I appreciate the star, but... And then by Marvel Movie News Fan, this guy signed up, I assume, to give us this review. Thank you, sir. Is 21. Trey 4 Tide and Super Balls 469. You guys are all awesome. You're picking up comics because of stuff we've said.
Cool.
You're reading more, and that's the best thing for me, is like we're actually making comic fans. We're breeding them.
Go get The Amazing Spider-Man by J. Michael Straczynski, Ultimate Collection Volume 1. You're set. And then get the other 4 after that.
So good.
So good.
Before, like, I think we'll end the show with recommending comics because we can rant on that for a bit. I want to shout out a gentleman wrote on our YouTube. His name is Todd Kaplan, and he said that he is stuck at his house all the time. He's disabled. We help his week go by better. And Todd, man, I want to specifically... That made my whole week, dude.
Yeah, like, it really did.
Thanks.
100 people can be mad at me, and the one dude...
Dude, that's yeah.
Seriously,
yeah. That's great.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Great, Todd. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Todd. So, while you guys, what are your comics you're reading right now? What do you recommend to people? Old or new?
Well, I just finished. Sorry, it's taken me forever. Mm-hmm. But I just finished Why the Last Man.
Oh shit. Dude.
Nothing like spending a Friday night crying in my bed. But, you know, that's what I do. Typical Friday.
Wow. Yeah, except I have a good reason to.
This ending was so good.
It was so good. That ending was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'd already read like the first 6 trades, and mm-hmm. so a friend of mine, a buddy of mine, Chad, thank you, Chad, if you're watching.
Hi, Chad.
Bought me the last couple of trades at Comic-Con this year because I had just had surgery, so I couldn't make it down. And yeah, it was so good. So good.
Yeah.
I knew it would be, but it was just...
it's great. And one of my favorite comics to recommend to new comic readers and also women. Female comic book readers, women that are interested in reading comics. I'm like, here, check this one out. All the Men in the World Die. And they're like, what? I'm like, just start with that. It's so good. Except for one and his pet monkey. It's amazing.
You'll love him.
One of my favorite endings, maybe my favorite ending in all of fiction that I've ever experienced,
wow,
is Why the Last Man.
Well, and I love, like, on all of the trades is the quote from Stephen King saying, this is the best trade I've ever read.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, I love it. You guys got that from Stephen King.
Wow.
Like,
yeah, that's
way to go.
That is
a good endorsement.
That's great. Crap, what am I reading right now? Well, I just finished reading some like really good Fantastic Four comics. And I think on my YouTube show that I do with my buddy Superhero News, which you can just look up on YouTube, I think we're going to be putting out that episode real soon, which is, if you liked it, read it. And we just recommend like really good Fantastic Four comics. We've got the Ultimate Fantastic Four stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The first 2 trades, at least. It's like Doctor Doom, like their origin and Doctor Doom.
Dude, that Doctor Doom, I love that Doctor Doom.
Yeah, I really love that Doom.
And then that's the numbers change in that, right?
No.
Was that the... No, that was... Okay, there was another.
The regular Fantastic Four, the numbers changed.
Yeah, that was a good time period, too.
And I've got, and we recommend
Ringo, right?
The Mark Waid Ringo run.
I love that art, dude.
Which is so good.
He's got beautiful.
And I have a buddy who's on the show with me, my buddy Augustine. He loves Doctor Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never read this specific run. And I handed it to him, and it's where Doctor Doom does something so messed up that he was just like, whoa, man, this is this is dark.
Too far.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Where he sacrifices something so, like, he does something to become the most powerful in magic.
Yes.
Because up to this point, he's like a Tony Stark guy.
Yeah.
He's technologically awesome, but he dabbled
in
magic.
He looks so cool in that new... Once he has the magic...
That armor that he's wearing,
yes.
I don't want to tell you what it's made of.
It's so good.
Because it's Gnarls Barkley, but it's so good.
And we're talking about the Crazy song, by the way.
Yeah, we're talking about
not
Crazy.
Not one of his other songs.
Right. We're talking to F.U. Because Dr. Doom is driving around town with the girl that read... No, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's great. So I've been reading that.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Top 3... Everyone, like many, many tweets. Top 3 Secret Wars tie-ins. We've talked before, but your overall top 3. I know you're not there yet.
Tie-ins for Secret Wars?
Yeah, the Secret Wars tie-ins.
Yeah, I... Unfortunately, a few years back, my comic book guy back in Oklahoma, bless his heart, went out of business.
Mm.
And so I once that happened, like it... knife through my heart. I've not found another place to get another pull list, and so I'm behind by a bit.
I'm reading the current main series right now, and I've only picked up a few things here and there for the tie-ins, like first issues. I really liked Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
I really liked A-Force. And then I really liked Infinity Gauntlet, even though they had like another Thanos running around in the thing. And then I stopped because I'm like, I want to wait till the series is done. And then I'm going to just read them all. Because to keep track of it, because there's so much that I'm just going to do it sort of like tie-in by tie-in and read that little complete story kind of thing. But I heard those are really good. And among other things, I heard Thor's was great. I heard World War Hulk was great. A bunch of stuff.
I personally, I've said it before, but the title that surprised... I'm really enjoying every tie-in, honestly, and I'm reading all of them. I'm reading every single tie-in, which is exhausting but awesome. The one that surprised me most, 1872, because I wasn't that big on 1602, but 1872 is hilarious.
Yeah.
If you want to read the one that's probably the most important for what's going on, I don't know. They're all
Thor's. I don't know.
They're all pretty tangential. You're pretty much safe to not have to read them, which is a very rare thing in comics. Usually it they're is. Like, what's going on? You have to read every title. I'm really enjoying 1872 and Ultimate End because I'm an Ultimates guy. To see it end is very important to me. It's not. It's good. It's not great, but Bagley's doing the art, so I'm sold. And then what would my last one be? I mean, I just finished Planet Hulk because...
Did you read Spider-Man Renew Your Vows?
Underwhelmed so far.
That? I know. That's
right?
tough.
That's my
tough.
One that I'm like.
Again, we're coming from Spider-Man
heart,
being married to Mary Jane, and when they're doing that again, I'm like, this rings false. It's not the same.
It's not right.
I know.
And it's close.
I know.
And
there
I
are
like,
little moments. I'm like, okay.
I get excited, then I get hurt.
Yeah. Sorry.
So tweet us. I'll be more articulate online.
Yeah,
I can send stuff. I want to shout out. Very quickly, I've never hosted, so I want to shout out to Larry's Comics when we're talking comics back home. I shopped at Larry's Comics for 12 years, and then when I moved, I got them shipped out here, and I only recently stopped because of Secret War, because I didn't know how to order them, because I'd be like, what's coming out? Give me all of them. So, Larry, you're awesome. And then a friend of mine that I worked with at a movie theater forever is opening a comic store in 2 weeks.
That's my dream.
So, literally, it's in the East Coast. I'm not sure what town it's going to be
What's the name? Oh, you don't know what town it is?
No. I know
you
it's going to be...
plug that.
Chamber of Comics Inc. is the name of the place.
Cool.
It's somewhere
Chamber
in Massachusetts.
Chamber of Comics. That's great.
Right? And it's somewhere in Massachusetts because I'm from Mass.
It's got to be a punny name. It has to be punny.
Because you got to stay.
If you're a comic,
Chamber of Comics.
Right?
That's so good.
So it's a friend of mine. I'm sorry to use airtime to plug, but man, I'm excited for you, dude. Like, you're opening a comic store.
Dude. Hey,
everyone's dream
of
this table.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's great.
And then lastly, someone on Twitter sent me this earlier in the week, and I thought it was really interesting. I wanted to close talking about it. He was saying that, do we think it's a coincidence that Daredevil finishes airing right before Civil War starts? What if Punisher unmasks him? Ian Charlie O had that to say. I think it's an interesting idea to tie in Secret Identities because he's one of the few that has one.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I mean, because we've talked about this a lot, like how Civil War... In the comics, it was all about that.
The
like
movie
that's,
doesn't have
yeah, it's all about Secret Identities.
Movies.
I don't know if the movie's going to touch on that hardly at all because we don't.
I agree.
So, so I don't know if that's even like if that's a thing.
The other thing too is I didn't see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the episode that aired before Age of Ultron came out, but apparently that episode explained something that right at the beginning of Age of Ultron, like how they found Baron Strucker's base and like went to go get like what
that,
did they
and
explain?
There's stuff about like the helicarrier like stuff.
Oh really?
They,
like, all that backstory. Like I watched Age of Ultron and
it was
need
it was
that
almost
stuff.
A little confusing because I had already seen the movie and I was catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I was like, wait, what? Because I already knew what had happened.
The movie's happening?
So it was like, but they're doing a pretty good job, especially, you know, as tough as it is to put all that stuff together.
I'm saying I heard that it was beneficial for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. viewers. Like, it was cool for them because a movie sort of lined up.
Right.
But for movie fans, they didn't necessarily need to watch it,
was,
which
it was,
is how
yeah,
it
was,
should
it
be.
It was a small piece of information that you didn't need to know.
I think we're going
to
go see Captain America Civil War. Daredevil's not going to be in it. There's going to be no mention. But if the end of Daredevil syncs up with that, maybe we'll see.
That'd be a great way to handle it. I just wanted to give this guy credit. It was a cool idea. I don't know if it's gonna be the case, but I think it's a great idea, and I love little fan fiction concepts.
Dude, I love how like I'm such a huge Marvel fan, and I feel like I've read everything in the world, and yet sometimes people will tweet me something, and I'll be like, "Oh my god."
And it opens up these like parallel minds.
Or people will find something like, remember when they mentioned Morales in Daredevil season one? I'm like, what? No, wait, what? Miles Morales' parents? Like people do that stuff.
It's
all the
amazing
time.
To have those little moments. And that's why I love this community. Like, I love you guys that are watching. I love you guys that are here.
This is, it's so nice to be a part of a bunch of people that, like, when we started talking Spider-Man, I was just in my brain, you understand me.
I just remember high school being like, I like comics. I'll sit and talk to my friends about sports because I'm from Boston. And now it's like comics and this is the sports out here. Like comics are the Tom Brady relevance Tom Brady, not guilty. I'm very excited about the fact.
Guilty. He was just pardoned.
Tomato, tomato. So I think it's really important that everyone, man, be friends with your comic fans and tweet at us. It's a community. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
It's great.
Keep making stuff, guys. I want to write a Spider-Man comic. My buddy's opening a comic store. Let's all, do cool stuff.
Dude, I mean, all the fan-made stuff that's coming out nowadays, the fact that it's tricking me. We were just talking about the fact that,
the Civil War trailer that was leaked.
Y'all see that Boba Fett footage?
Oh yeah, tricked me.
I'm like, this is good.
I'm gonna see this movie. Good. I thought it was from this Star Wars, and then whenever the title came out, I was like, "Oh,
you dummy!" It's good.
It's great.
It looks great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So keep making stuff, guys. It can't hurt. Always create something cool. That's my big whole thing.
Cool.
I thought of my favorite Secret Wars title: Civil War. Civil War 2 is incredible.
Nice.
So if you're gonna read any one, Civil War, it is the only one I feel like ties into the first Civil War beautifully, but also creates a separate universe, and it's brilliantly written. The art's gorgeous. Civil War,
dude, and the tie-ins like the news reporter one is a great
back from Civil War the event yeah frontline
yeah frontline yeah, frontline awesome. Frontline's so good for a non like comic like superhero yeah. book it was great, great.
And then we talked about that last time you're on
all
yeah.
the Spider-Man stuff I mean I, yeah. that was oh, so good
read
all
more
right.
Spider-Man
all right calm all down all right no, I'm kidding
Sorry,
so that's it for our show guys it was awesome hosting you guys are amazing keep reading comics keep tweeting at us keep watching movies of all kinds support your local cinema I've been Coy Jandreau at CoyJandreau.
I've been at Axe4Food, ACTS, the number four, the word food.
Do people think it's Axe, like Axe Body Spray?
I get
like,
lots of stuff. Yeah. I have to spell it
Axe
out.
For, sure.
Yeah.
I'm Hector, at Hector is funny.
I want someone to be like Axe4Food that note.
I just,
it's been a pleasure, guys. We'll see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.